You know, I really feel as we were just worshiping there, I really felt that there was someone saying, well, I've been to Easter before. I've been to an Easter service before, and it's kind of like this. And, well, this church gets pretty enthusiastic about it, and that's nice, and all of that. And I really feel that there is there's some here this morning that just need to know that there's more. There's more in God. There's more for you to reach up for. I'm talking to the believers this morning as well. That there's more that God has for us than what maybe you think you've already experienced all there was. Don't plateau, all right? I really felt the Lord saying, don't plateau. Keep realizing there's more of God for you to experience. You haven't experienced it all yet. Just keep on going. Keep on the journey that you're in. God's got more for you, but you just got to keep walking on into it. And whatever you do, don't plateau down to the point where you think, oh, well, that's it. I've had this, and I've had that, and I've done this, and I've heard this, and I've got that, and etc. Don't get comfortable, is the word. They say that comfort zones are great, but nothing grows there. And I like that. That was a great word for us all today, is that don't plateau and don't get into a comfort zone in your faith. Get to that place where you want more and you realize that there is more for you. Because God's got so much more for you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Why don't we... we're going to have communion at the end today, just in case anyone's wondering when's communion. We're going to have communion at the end, and of course, we're going to work into it. Of course, not going to go too long today either, but you know, the great thing about Easter Sunday is that we can start where we left off on Easter Friday, and of course, on Good Friday. As Christians, our new lives begin where Jesus said, it's finished. That's where our Christian life begins, when Jesus said, it's finished. Our life starts, and of course, the new life that he came to bring is what we're going to be talking about today. I shared on Good Friday, if you were here, I had the Lord drop that word into my heart this last week, and it's just been really resonating there. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Love that. Love that word. Just been resonating, and it just carries so much about saying so. If we're redeemed, we should say so. It should be in our conversation. It should be the thing we talk about, because it's the most amazing thing that's happened to us, is that we've been redeemed. And we can talk about it, and we should talk about it. Hallelujah. It comes out of Psalm 107, verse 1 to 3. It says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his loving devotion endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. We've been redeemed from something. We've been redeemed from our captivity. You know, that we were held captive by the enemy, and we've been redeemed from that. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy and gathered from the lands, from the east and the west, the north and the south. Point needs to be made. You know, what is the Lord doing in this time and at this age? He's gathering his people together. He's gathering his church. He's bringing his people into his kingdom. God has redeemed us, purchased us back from the hand of the enemy. We should remember that and be reminded of that. It says in 1 John 3:8, for this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. For that purpose was he manifested. And we see that God has achieved much. And in this prophetic declaration over here in Psalm 107, of this church age that we are in, God is demonstrating his love toward his people. God is demonstrating his love to the world through Jesus Christ. And there is a demonstration of it. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 says, but God demonstrates his love, his own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners. We say it here a fair bit because we want it to be our heart as a church together. God loves people where they are. We're not here condemning people. And you know, we saw on Good Friday that as John 3:16, we need to read on from there to 17 and 18, because it says that he didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but through the world they might live. God loves us where we are. God wants to love people where they are. And you know what? We should too. Amen? We should love people where they are. People should feel the love of God coming through us and by us. His love reaches everyone the same way and at the same place. God loves us all through Christ Jesus, and God loves us all where we are, stuck in sin, for failing in life maybe. He doesn't come to condemn, he comes to bring new life. And there's more of that new life if we'll keep walking on into it. There's more of that for us to appreciate and appropriate, is that more of that new life. And just as a maintaining that theme, if you like, Titus 2, verses 11 through to 14, it says, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men." You know, there's no one that's saying, well, you're not going to make it, you're not good enough. Or it can't reach you because, you know, you've done this. The grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly and righteously and godly in this present age. Very sound instruction to Titus from the Apostle Paul. Looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ. You know, he's coming again. He's going to come again and the whole world's going to see it. Who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good works. That's us. Amen, the church. That's us. Zealous for good works and purify for himself a people for his own possession, the church. The called out ones is what the word church means. The ones that have been called out from darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And we ought to be a people that know kingdom culture. We need to be a people that know what it means to believe. We need to be a people that knows what it means to pray. We need to be a people, we know how to affect change in circumstances and situations and even world affairs because we have that authority, because we've understood that not only did Jesus die on the cross, not only was the tomb found empty, but he rose, and not only that, but where he rose to. And we'll get to that. You know, our salvation is received when we accept and believe that Jesus has paid the price of death for the penalty of our sins. And that was that substitutionary sacrifice, his act of redemption in our lives, and that God is at peace with us through Jesus Christ. God's at peace with us now through the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, and we're informed by Isaiah 53, where it says that the chastisement or the punishment for the restoration of our peace with God was taken by Jesus on the cross. He took it on the cross. We're at peace with God now. There's nothing preventing us from having close relationship with the Lord. We're at peace with him now. And we can now go on to the new life which Jesus, our Lord and Saviour, has provided for us. Jesus was not just a figure in history that we're just to believe in, but he's a risen Lord that we can walk with and we can talk with. And an everyday reality in our lives as we learn to enjoy his presence, as we learn to find his presence in our lives and draw near to him. You know, what thrills me as a local church pastor is when I see God's people moving past the place of religious ceremony and going up to that level of heartfelt connection with the Heavenly Father. That's what thrills me as a local pastor, seeing people start to say, no, there is more. There's more for me. I know I can find more in God. And what I need in life, I can find in God. Love seeing that. Love seeing that in people's lives. The growth and the development and the joy that comes as a result as people push past. You know, just that religiousness and that ceremony of being a Christian. Push past into that place of personal relationship. That thrills me. So, and Rosemary as well, she said amen this morning. So we are thrilled by that because we know that that's what it's about. Coming into relationship with him through our Lord Jesus Christ. Are people that understand God's will because they've been walking with him and talking with him. Amen. You know, on Easter Sunday, we realize that what happened at the cross was eclipsed by what happened at the tomb. And we need to see that the empty tomb should also getting us to the point of asking, where is Jesus now? Because the tomb is empty. Where's he gone to? What's his function now? What's his purpose now? Any disappointment and despair experienced by the disciples in the event of the crucifixion was replaced by the joy at the news that he'd been risen from the dead and that the tomb was empty. It took a little while, while for the penny to drop, but it did drop. Talk about an emotional roller coaster ride for those people that had known him and been with him for those 3 years. Even after seeing the tomb was empty on Easter Sunday morning, Mary, Peter and John were still thinking that someone had stolen the body of Jesus from that tomb, taking it away. And we see, and I'll just read the whole chapter. I think it'd be good for us this morning just to read the chapter of John, chapter 18. It says, "Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came early to the tomb while it was still dark and saw the stone already taken away from the tomb. So she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved," that's John, and said to them, they have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him. So Peter and the other disciple went forth, and they were going to the tomb. The two were running together, and the other disciple ran ahead faster than Peter. So John was a good runner. And came to the tomb first, and stooping and looking in, he saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. And so Simon Peter also came following him and entered the tomb, and he saw the linen wrappings lying there and the face cloth which had been on his head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. So the other disciple who had first come to the tomb then also entered and saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. They didn't quite get it. They're thinking someone's pinched the body, that they've stolen it. So the disciples went away again to their homes, but Mary was standing outside the tomb weeping. And so as she wept, she stooped and looked into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head, one at the feet, where the body of Jesus had been lying. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they've taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they've laid him." And when she'd said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." So zealous for the body of Jesus, but not realizing that he'd risen from the dead. In verse 16, and Jesus said to her, "Mary," she turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Stop clinging to me, for I've not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father and my God and your God." And Mary Magdalene came announcing to the disciples, "I've seen the Lord," and that he has said these things to her. Realization at that point, that realization, need to understand. Mary's still feeling that concern and respect for Jesus as being her teacher, and that someone's taken the body. And of course, this is a reality for her that is hard to shake. And even an angelic visitation doesn't move her from her grief, but it takes the Lord Jesus saying, "Mary," and speaking to her, and her recognizing, "This is my Lord, this is my Savior, and he's not dead anymore. He's alive. He's risen." She now understands and runs back and tells the others. And for us that believe, it's not the end. The death of the Lord Jesus Christ and even his burial was not the end. In fact, it's a start. It's a start for us all. It's a start for a new life for us. And if the church is going to be saying something, it needs to stay close to this absolute truth that we've been risen with him. That we've risen with him. There's a resurrection life that we can live. For anyone that's been born again, and knows the difference from the old to the new, from walking in that resurrection life, I tell you, it's a wonderful thing to realize, to appreciate, to know, and to be able to experience the difference. You know, I talk about how that happened to me when I was 21 years of age, came to know the Lord in a personal way, simply because I prayed a simple prayer. We'll make that invitation for anyone this morning who hasn't prayed that prayer before, that maybe needs to pray that prayer, because I'll tell you, it'll take you from living a life that's far below what you should be living to living a life that's in relationship with the God of heaven, the God of all creation. That's a wonderful thing. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 6 talks about, "For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus." Understanding that we need to have is, let's go on from the cross. Let's go on from the empty tomb. Let's go on to that new life that Jesus came to bring. That's what brings glory to him, is for us to live the new life. Amen? Amen. For us to live out of that new life. And let me make no mistake about understanding what that new life is. It's about a life that's connected to him. Spirit-to-spirit communion. Hearts connected to his. Not living our old life and being religious, but living a new life connected to his heart, the Father's heart. That's the life we're called to. And it's not boring. Amen. It's not boring, is it? Amen. It's not boring. It's an adventure day in, day out. just what, because we're dealing with the God who knows everything. We're dealing with the God of all creation who knows the end from the beginning. He'll even show you things to come if we just draw near to him. Amen. We're called to that lifestyle. We're called to that connection to his heart. Let's be those believers that go on to being prayerful believers from that realization that he rose from the dead to be seated at the right hand of the Father, and that we're seated with him and we're able now to rule and reign in life through him. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen. Let's be that people that talk about the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. And maybe not about the footies as much as we do, and other things of less consequence, and talk about, you know, that King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and what a wonderful thing he's done for us. What a wonderful name it is. Amen. Why don't we all stand this morning? We're going to receive the elements, and we can bring our supplications and our requests to the Lord. We can bring what we're seeing to the Lord and leave it with him and let him work it out. Amen. We can stand and we can intercede and pray for our nation. And it's a very important thing for us all to be doing, not just leaving it to a specially initiated prayer group or prayer initiative somewhere, but actually all of us from our own hearts be praying. Of course, this is what we're talking about here. We talk about how we're now able to rule and reign with him in life. And I encourage you this morning. At least I've got some bread here. Hallelujah. Why don't we all stand to our feet this morning and go on celebrating? We're stood here today, been standing here today with a cup and the bread. And of course, we're here to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. Amen. To celebrate the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And let's focus on him now. And the Apostle Paul, in his revelation that he received, he said this: For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you, over there in 1 Corinthians 11. That the Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he'd given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Why don't we all eat together and give thanks for the body that was broken for us? And we thank you together, Lord God, today for our Lord Jesus Christ and for the body that was broken for us. Lord, we thank you that the chastisement for our peace with you was upon Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, for the peace that we now have with you and that we can enjoy. Lord, that we can live free of a sense of sin or shame or a consciousness of sin, Father, because of what you did for us on the cross. And Lord, we thank you that we can now overcome the power of sin because the penalty has been dealt with. Lord, we thank you for that. We, Lord, determined to press into you, Lord God, to experience that resurrection power, Lord God, that overcoming power that now resides in us, Lord. Lord, that we might say with the Apostle Paul, "It's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me." And Lord God, that life that we now live, we live to glorify him. We thank you for it, Lord. So, Father, we thank you for the body that was broken for us and give you grateful thanks that you bore your very stripes taken for us, Lord God. By them we are healed in Jesus' name. Thank you for healing in our physical bodies. We thank you for divine health, Lord God, because of the provision of yours upon the cross. Give you thanks in Jesus' name. And it says there that after supper he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let's drink together and give the Lord thanks. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father. We thank you for the blood that was shed for us. Lord God, that we're forgiven of our sins, Lord God, because of it. Lord God, that that provision made at the cross of Calvary, Father, all those thousands of years ago, Father, still avails for us, Lord. And even when we're, Father, imperfect or we miss the mark, Lord God, don't do what we know we're supposed to do, Lord God, that we can come into your presence and receive forgiveness. We can come into your throne room of grace and find grace and help in time of need, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the blood that continues to avail for us today, Lord.
Lord God, we thank you for it. We thank you, Lord, that we are the redeemed. And we're going to say so, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Amen.